invite you to be turning in your Bible or finding on your phone the text that you see over our head. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. That'll be our text for this morning. Mark chapter 7, beginning at 31. Let me remind my Sunday morning Bible class, we are back in the fellowship building beginning this morning. The Rubicon guys are gone, and so we will be meeting there again for our class this morning. We invite you. Mark chapter 7, beginning at 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." There was a man who had never attended a worship service before, but he had a special need in his life at this particular time, so he decided to go to church and see if he could have it met. And so he attended a worship service, and the preacher preached, and at the end, the preacher extended this invitation. And the preacher said, "If you have any needs, come down the aisle and let us know, and we'll try to meet them." And so the man came down the aisle, and the preacher met him, and the preacher said, "Well, what's your need?" And the man said, "Well, I need you to pray for my hearing." And the preacher said, "Oh, we're going to do more than pray for it. We're going to heal it." And so he had the man stand in front of the congregation, and the preacher dramatically took his hands and put them over the man's ears, and he began to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed fervently, and the congregation joined in fervent prayer for the man's hearing. After the prayer was over, the preacher removed his hands from the man's ears, and he said, "Now, how is your hearing now?" And the man said, "Well, I don't know yet. The hearing is this Thursday in circuit court." Hearing can have more than one meaning, can it? Hearing can mean, of course, our physical ability to detect and recognize sounds. Hearing can refer to a meeting that takes place for some specific purpose. And in a spiritual sense, in a biblical sense, hearing can refer to a person's willingness to receive and respond to the Word of God. And in this text here that we just read, in Mark chapter 7, all three of those definitions of hearing are present. You first of all have Jesus taking this deaf man aside for kind of a one-on-one private hearing. During that hearing, Jesus heals, restores the physical ability to hear in this deaf man. But then on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, I believe this passage is here, at least one of the reasons it's here, is to remind us that so many people refuse to hear the Word of God. As we look around in this world, we know that the majority of people don't have ears to hear the Word of God. They just don't want to hear it. Some people are too busy to hear it. Some people are too bewildered to hear it. Some people are too belligerent to hear it. But most people don't want to hear. What I want to ask this morning is this: how can we provide some spiritual hearing aid for the world around us? And the answer to that, I believe, is found right here in this text. And the answer is this: we can follow the example of Jesus. If we will do what Jesus did here, we can increase the odds that the people around us are going to be willing to hear the word of God. That is, receive it and respond to it. Now, we can't make anybody hear, but we can increase the chances that they will by doing four things that Jesus did right here in this text. What does it take to provide spiritual hearing aid for the world around us? Number one, it takes contact. It takes contact. In verse 33, we see that Jesus takes this deaf man that was brought to him aside, away from the crowd. Now, why is Jesus doing this? Well, the text doesn't say with a certainty, but we can surmise a couple of things. Number one, we know that Jesus doesn't want his healing acts to become a spectator sport. He doesn't want to turn his ministry into a circus where you got big crowds of people who have no spiritual interests, just want to come and watch the show. That's not something Jesus wants. And so that's one of the reasons sometimes he will take a person and pull them aside. But I think there's another reason, and that is he wanted personal contact with this man. He wanted to get away from the crowds and look at this man and give this man some of his time and some of his attention. You see, Jesus was more interested in this man's soul than he was his body. Jesus was more interested in this man's spiritual hearing, ultimately, than he was the man's physical hearing. Jesus did not come to this earth to perform miracles. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Miracles were just one means to that important end. And Jesus wanted to give this man some of his personal time. He wanted to go one-on-one with him for a little while. If we are going to provide hearing aid for the people around us to increase the odds that they're going to hear the word of God, we need to be willing to make personal contact. We need to be willing to get out of the crowd and go one-on-one with this person. The students at the Waverly Schools returned to school this past week. They're not going to Waverly. Those buildings are ruined and won't be rebuilt for years, probably, is what we're hearing. And so a lot of the Waverly students went to McEwen, a neighboring little town with schools there. I had an opportunity to go this week and provide some counseling for some of those students who were returning to school after weeks off after the flood. So we went into the classrooms and we talked to them a little bit and we said, hey, if you need us, here's where we're going to be stationed, and the kids could just come and see us one-on-one. This little girl came to me and she sat down in front of me, a little third grader. And I said, well, how were you affected by the flood? And she said, I wasn't affected by the flood. I said, well, so you know people, family, friends, neighbors who were affected by the flood? She said, no, I don't know anybody affected by the flood. And I said, well, why do you want to talk? What do you want to talk about then? And she said, I'd just like you to ask me some questions. And I said, well, what kind of questions? And she said, well, like, what's my favorite color and what's my favorite food and what's my favorite type of animal? And so we sat there for 10 or 15 minutes and I asked her these simple little questions and she gave me a response. And after a while, I took her back to class. We were getting ready to leave for the day and little girl's teacher came to me and she said, I don't know what you did, but you must be some kind of therapist because I have never seen that girl smile the way she smiled when she came back into this classroom. She just needed a little, let me take you aside and let me look at your face and acknowledge you and really see you, not the crowd, but really see you and just talk a little bit. And according to the teacher, that really made her day. Well, that's the kind of contact that's going to change people and increase the odds that they're going to be receptive to Jesus. Number two, how are we going to provide hearing aid for the world around us? Spiritual hearing aid. There's communication. Communication. In verse 33, if you're in the text with us, we see that after Jesus took this man aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears. He spit and he touched the man's tongue. What's Jesus doing here? Well, we believe that Jesus is using kind of a crude form of sign language. Jesus wants to heal the man, but he can't tell him that because the man can't hear his voice. And so Jesus is kind of showing him physically what he's about to do. He touches the ears. I'm going to heal these. He touches the tongue. I'm going to heal that so that you don't have this speech impediment anymore. He actually spits in his hand. And we've said before that the ancients believed that there was power, healing power, medicinal power in saliva, especially the saliva of a holy man or a holy woman. And so Jesus is kind of using a form of sign language to communicate with this man. I am going to heal your hearing. I'm going to heal your speech. Wanted to let the man know that that's what he was going to do. If we're going to provide hearing aid for the people around us, if we're going to provide help and hope and healing, then we've got to be sure that we are communicating clearly with the people around us. Sometimes in the church, we have this insider jargon that we understand because we've been in the church all of our lives, but outsiders don't know about justification and propitiation, hermeneutics and all these preacher words. They don't know. And we need to tell them the story of Jesus in a language that they can understand. We may have the correct spiritual answers for people, but it's only when these answers are understandable to them that they're really going to matter and they're really going to help. Can I remind you that we are not trying to impress people? We are trying to influence people. I don't want anybody to hear my sermon and say, wow, he's pretty smart. I want people to hear my sermon and say, wow, God's pretty good. I was thinking about this, how Paul worded it. You don't have to turn there, but Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2, talking to the Corinthians when he made an earlier visit with them. This is what he says. He says, when I came to you, Corinthians, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. They accused Paul of being so wise and so eloquent in his letters. But then when you came and you actually looked at us and talked to us, there was nothing wise or eloquent about it. It was just so simple. And Paul says, that's exactly how I meant it. Because I didn't want you to be impressed with me. I wanted you to be impressed with my Lord. And so we have contact with people and we communicate Jesus to them in ways that they understand. Number three, how can we provide spiritual hearing aid to those around us? Communion. Communion. Verse 34, before Jesus healed this man, he looks up into heaven and he sighs. He has this deep sigh that this blind man can recognize. What's Jesus doing here? Jesus is showing his compassion to this man. And Jesus is showing this man, he is showing him what I'm about to do for you in this healing comes from above. This healing is happening through God the Father. It comes from above. Maybe you hear this message and you don't feel qualified to offer help and hope and healing to the people around you, to those who are hurting? How can you minister to others? You're not qualified to do that. The power comes from above. What are you going to say to a person who's just lost a loved one that's going to help them? The power comes from above. What are you going to say to a person who's just been diagnosed with cancer? The power comes from above. What are you going to say to someone whose marriage is on the rocks and might not survive? The power comes from above. What are you going to say to someone who's lost their job? They're ruined financially. The power comes from above. As you are going in the name of Jesus to do ministry, remind yourself the power comes from above. God is not so interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. As I'm trying to help people, almost every time as I'm going, I'll say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not smart enough to do this. But if you will say something through me, I'm willing to let you. If you will do something through me, I'm willing to let you. And that's the only way any good is going to happen here. There was a little boy standing out on a street corner and he had a mirror. And he was reflecting the light of the sun toward a house and in particular toward one window of the house. A man saw him, was interested in what he was doing, so he said, son, what are you doing? Are you playing some kind of practical joke? What are you doing here? And the boy said, no, sir, it's no joke. He said, my brother is sick, and he's been sick a long time, and the doctors say he can't get better. And he's in that room right there, that's his bedroom. He can't get up, he can't get out, and mama says he needs a little sunshine. The sun never shines in his window, so I'm trying to use this mirror to just reflect a little bit of sunlight into his room so I can brighten his day. And I read that and thought, yes, that's what Christians do. We don't produce the light, but we just try to reflect the light to brighten other people's lives. Remember, Jesus said, let your light shine, not make your light shine. We're not like the sun. We don't emanate light. We're like the moon. We just reflect the light when we get in the presence of God. Well, that's communion with God. And then the final thing, if we're going to make a difference in people's hearing of the word of God, not only do we commune with God, not only do we remember the power comes from above, but finally we have compassion. Jesus, again, makes that deep sigh, and I believe he's showing there, among other things, the compassion that he felt for this man. Jesus had compassion when he looked at this man, and he saw, once again, the ravages of sin. And when he saw the damage that sin has done in this fallen world, he had compassion, and so he sighed. If we're going to minister like Jesus, if we're going to increase the spiritual hearing of those around us, we have to muster up compassion for those who are hurting. And that's hard. It's hard to keep this endless supply of compassion coming. It is for me. I think it's hard for a couple of reasons, at least. Number one, it's hard because so many around us who are hurting because of their own foolishness, right? I mean, they are choosing a foolish lifestyle and they're getting the results of a fool. And it's so easy to look at them and say, I don't have compassion for you. You've made this bed, now lie in it. I told you before about the man who worked construction, and every day at lunchtime, he would open up his lunchbox and look in there and pull out a sandwich and open up the sandwich and say, not peanut butter and jelly again. I hate peanut butter and jelly. Did this every day, over and over again. And finally, a coworker could stand it no longer. And the guy opens up his lunchbox and he pulls out the sandwich and he opens it up. Peanut butter and jelly again. I hate peanut butter and jelly. And finally, a friend said, why don't you just tell your wife to make you another kind of sandwich? And the guy says, wife, I don't have a wife. I make my own sandwiches. we look around at so many who are hurting, and we say, you're doing it to yourself. You're making your own sandwich. And it becomes harder for us in those situations to have compassion, but we need compassion to help them. Another reason it's hard to have compassion is because we look around and we see so many multiplied millions who are hurting and helpless, and it's just overwhelming. We look around and we see so much pain and agony and sin, and we finally just say, you know what, this just wears me out to think about it. How am I going to make a difference? But what we need to do is continue to get in the presence of God and allow Him to build up that compassion in us on a daily basis so that we can look at the masses and have compassion on them, so that we can look at the ones who are doing it to themselves by sin and have compassion on them so that we want to help them. A tourist was visiting the Holy Land, and he saw a man who was behind a flock of sheep, and he was driving them. And I mean, he was yelling at the sheep, and he was kicking them in the rear end, and he had this rod, and he was beating the sheep with the rod. And the tourist was confused because that's not what he thought shepherds did. And so he was so curious that he walked over to the man and he said, sir, I thought shepherds led their sheep. And that man looked at him and said, I'm not the shepherd. I'm the butcher. And folks, we cannot drive people by kicking and screaming and yelling and make them hear the word of God. We cannot. There's so much anger and there's so much aggression and there's so much attack in our world today that we can buy into that spirit. And as Christians, we can attack people for God. And Jesus said, nope, follow my example. And my example is contact and communication and compassion. So let's keep in mind this week that we cannot make anyone hear, that is, receive and respond to the word of God, but we can increase the odds that they will by following the example that we find from Jesus right here in this text and throughout the Gospels. Verse 32, some people brought this deaf man to Jesus and begged Jesus to place his hand on him. As we close this morning, I'd just like to play the role of whoever those people were. If you are living in your sin, I'd like to just bring you to Jesus, because He's the only one that can heal you. You're not responding to me. You're not responding to the elders. You're not responding to this church. You are responding to Jesus, knowing that He is the only one who can heal you of your sins. If you are not a baptized believer, if you've never allowed Jesus to wash away your sins after you repented and you confessed, never been added to the church, then we are going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. We're going to stand and sing a song to encourage you. And as we do, we invite you to come. Would you come right now? Together we stand and as we sing.